Good to be with you again, be able to speak to you from the Word of God. As we began discussing this morning, the subject on the board, judging one another, and we actually started with John chapter 7, verse 44, so just to go back over a little of what we looked at this morning, or John 7, 24, we'll go back over a few of the thoughts that we looked at this morning. Jesus there tells us to judge not according to appearance, but to judge righteous judgment. So we talked this morning about this being the only kind of judgment that we are to be involved in as God's people. We looked at some examples, and we asked the question, how is righteous judgment obtained? We found from the Scriptures that righteous judgment in Romans 2:2 is according to truth. This righteous judgment of God or from God is only according to truth. In other words, truth is the standard of judgment that we must go by when we're talking about how do we act concerning judgment. We notice that it's man's responsibility in righteous judgment to properly judge as God would have us to do. We got to that point this morning that our reasoning faculties are involved in righteous judgment. We have to, in using the truth, form correct conclusions, in other words. In judging righteous judgment, conclusions are what we're actually talking about when we are involved in judging. And so let's go to Luke chapter 12 and look at verses 54 through 57. Luke chapter 12, 54 through 57. Beginning at verse 54 of Luke 12, it says, Jesus said to the multitudes also, when you see a cloud rising in the west, straightway you say, there comes a shower, and so it comes to pass. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say, well, there will be a scorching heat or a hot wind, and it comes to pass. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret or prove the face of the earth and the heaven, but how is it that you know not how to interpret or prove this time? And why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Now I want you to notice in the context that this is actually what we talk about. We use the terms necessary inference. Things that necessarily infer conclusions for us. We reach judgments, judgmental decisions by reading things, by seeing certain things that lead us to conclusions. So he gives a couple of examples of how, you know, we see the dark clouds coming from the north. We know something's coming. Or we see the dark clouds coming up from the south in the spring, in the summertime as the storms come at us, and we know something's coming. We don't even have to listen to the weather. We can see with our eyes something's happening. We know as the leaves start turning colors and falling off the trees in the fall that winter's approaching. Fall's coming, winter's... We know all that, and that's... We're using our facilities that God's given us to understand that. So that's how Jesus concludes this in verse 57. And why, even of yourselves, judge you not what is right? In the context, as he is teaching the truth, as he's healing people, they're not judging right. From seeing the healing that he's performing, that he is the Messiah, the things that he's teaching about himself. And it's just like Nicodemus and others said, we know that you come from God. How could you do these great miracles? You have to be from God. I mean, that's judging what is right. So we see this principle here as he points out. Let's look at some specific examples of applying the principle to our lives. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 11 is an example. That's a passage that we talk about a lot. that we try to get people to understand this concept. The people in Berea, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica. What made them more noble in the sight of God? The answer, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. But what they did is they used what we're talking about. They judged correctly by coming to proper conclusions or judgments by what Paul was teaching them to see if these things were so. They studied the scriptures. They understood that the scriptures was the truth. And that only by going to the truth and comparing what Paul taught concerning Messiah could they come to correct conclusions. Could they judge righteous judgment? They had to go to the truth. That's an example. Let's go to another one. 2 Corinthians 13:5. And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, and these are some basic passages that we use quite a bit, and I want you to understand that these passages are helping us to come to correct conclusions, to have righteous judgment, to make the right judgments, decisions. So here it says, examine or try your own selves to see whether you are in the faith. Prove or test your own selves. Or do you not know as to your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be reprobate? Now reprobate means not standing the test, not approved, one that doesn't prove out. The only way we can prove, be proved correctly, be approved of God, is that we must examine or try ourselves. This involves judgment upon ourselves. We look at ourselves in the mirror concerning how we live, what we are doing religiously, how we're conducting ourselves from day to day, and to see if we are practicing what God tells us to practice. Are we in the faith? Are we Christians? Are we following the truth? That's our responsibility, and that involves judging righteous judgment on ourselves. A lot of times we think of judgment is just to one another, but we're involved in ourselves also to see if we are approved of God, and we can only identify ourselves by looking in the mirror. And the mirror, as far as we're concerned, is God's Word, because that's what tells us whether we are living and acting the way God wants us to or not. Now sure, we can help each other in pointing out things to each other, but the Word of God is our source. And the righteous judgment of God is according to truth. And so the same thing is with us. Am I conducting myself the way God wants me to conduct myself? Let's look at another passage, Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Matthew 18, 15 through 17. There it says, beginning at verse 15, if your brother sin against you, go show him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, then you've gained your brother. But if he doesn't hear you, then take with you one or more, that at the mouth of two witnesses or three, every word may be established. And if he refused to hear them, tell it unto the church or the congregation. And if he refuse to hear the church also, let him be unto you as the Gentile and the publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever things you bind shall be bound on earth, be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things you loose shall be loosed in heaven. As we've said before on that passage, the Greek actually says, whatsoever you shall bound shall have been bound in heaven. And the same thing goes for have been bound in earth. But notice the principle there that we're looking at, that we have specifics concerning how our responsibilities are to deal with one another with truth. Judgment has to be controlled by the truth. And so he's saying this here. And he gives us steps of how this is to be performed in this situation. Let's go to John, 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1. In 1 John 4:1 it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but prove or test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." We have that responsibility. This involves judging one another. We judge to see if what we're teaching is the truth or not. How do we do that? Well, there's only one way. I can't say, "Well, I don't think that guy's teaching the truth because I don't like his personality. I don't like the way he presents the truth. He must not be teaching the truth." No, can't do that. That's not righteous judgment. The righteous judgment of God is according to truth. So I have to compare what the person's saying with what's in the Word of God. That's the only way I can judge righteous judgment of whether a person's standing for and teaching the truth or not. Let's look at Romans 16 next. Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that are causing the divisions and occasions of stumbling contrary to the doctrine which you learned and turned away from them." Now, you know, you ever thought of that verse? You know, we hear people, we hear brethren say, any division is sinful. Well, not necessarily. You, in standing for the truth, in standing against false doctrine, false brethren that are practicing and teaching error, when you stand up against the error, the practicing or the teaching or both, division comes out of that, oftentimes. If they don't repent and stop doing what they're doing, there's division. It happened here. Now, it says here, "Mark them that are causing the division, occasions of stumbling, contrary to the doctrine." If you and I stand up for the truth, and there is a division over it, then that has to be. We have to stand for the truth. And I've heard, brethren, and you'll hear it among the liberals a lot, any division, you've got to stay together no matter what, any division is sinful. That's not true. You stand for the truth, and if division is a result of standing for the truth, then that's just so be it. That's what has to happen. You see it happening over and over again throughout history, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Truth of God is more important than unity. And so, you know, people in the denominations, people among false brethren, and the liberal brethren, they don't understand that. So they get into this thing called unity and diversity, you know. Oh, we can worship together. Oh, yeah, we practice different things and we believe different things. We can all worship together. Unity and diversity. And there's no such animal in the New Testament. They're not judging righteous judgment when they teach those kinds of things. Well, you can worship with us just because we use instrumental music. You don't believe in it. Unity and diversity, it's no big deal. Everybody believes what different things anyway. Well, there's some truth to that. You know, the devil, he always mixes in error with truth. And so we may not understand the scriptures exactly alike in everything. We still worship together. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about where we are holding positions that affect the local congregation, either in actual worship or maybe positions like false doctrine of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, things like that that you cannot worship and be in agreement and walk together and be agreed on doctrines that are of monumental import, such as that. And there are a lot of brethren that say, "Well, you know, I'm not so sure." Well, okay. I read passages about brethren that are weak in the faith. They may not have a position. But if we get a brother up who starts teaching on the issue or causing trouble in the congregation, then righteous judgment has to enter in. We have to control those kinds of things. So there's a lot of different scenarios. Let's also look at this proper attitude. It's actually the same attitude that Christ put forth. Let's go to John chapter 5 and verse 30. And of course, I'm just hitting a few of the verses that you can find on this subject of how righteous judgment is involved in the way we worship, the way we act together, the way we look at other people. In John 5 and verse 30, it says there, Jesus said, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now look at that verse very carefully. John 5 and verse 30. He says, as he hears, he judges. Again, where does our judgment come from? From God's Word. Judge, righteous judgment. The righteous judgment of God is according to truth. So Jesus himself said this. He said, my judgment is righteous. Why is his judgment righteous? Well, he answers that. He says, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now there's another important aspect of righteous judgment. When we talk about judging one another and the right attitude to judge one another, Jesus gives us this perfect example. He says, I do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I seek not mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. I think that's the antidote to improper judgment of one another right there. If you always have in your mind to do the will of God, then you're not going to be misjudging your brother. That's all there is to it. You're not going to allow yourself to think, say, and do things to your brother that's wrong. You're going to be judging righteously. You're going to be fair. You're going to be making proper decisions for your brethren. The last point I make is how Christians are not to judge. So we talked a lot about how we judge. We've seen the examples of Jesus and others. We've seen the statement that the righteous judgment of God is according to truth. We can only judge according to truth. If we get into trying to judge people on their motives, we're in big trouble because we can't read people's minds. We can only see and judge by their fruits as it pertains and relates to the Word of God. So, here's some ways Christians are not to judge. First of all, in matters of opinion, expediencies. In Romans 14, let's look at a few of the verses in Romans 14, because actually, Romans 14 is the chapter that deals with this specific matters of opinion or expedience. So you start out Romans 14, it says, but him that is weak in faith, receive yet not for decisions of scruples or doubtful disputations. One man has faith to eat all things, but he that is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not. And let not him that eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who are you that judgeth the servant of another? To his own Lord he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be made to stand, for the Lord has power to make him stand. Now go on down to verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way or an occasion of falling. Now this isn't teaching in Romans 14 that we don't have anything to do with judging one another. We've already seen plenty of scriptures that tells us we do, and we are to be involved in judgment among one another. But in the context here, this is talking about judging in the matters of opinion or expedience, not things that are required. And so whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat has nothing to do with you going to heaven. You don't have to eat meat or not eat meat to go to heaven. He deals with this in the Corinthian, among the Corinthian brethren in the Corinthian letters also. Instead, here, and I want you also to notice there in 1 13, people will use this first part of this verse and say, we can't have anything to do with judging because it says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. They try to take judgment out of the picture. The next breath, he says, but judge. Now look at that. You see that? He says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge ye this rather, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way or an occasion for falling. So you're actually in the process of judging by allowing the truth to conduct your thoughts, control your thoughts in this matter. Don't judge people according to their personal opinions, what they feel is right and wrong, as long as it doesn't violate God's word, because it doesn't matter whether you believe you should or shouldn't eat meats. Neither here nor there. But judge ye, that's rather. You're to be involved in judgment, but it's this righteous judgment, that no man put a stumbling block in his brother's way on occasion of falling. If I cause a brother to stumble because he thinks it's wrong to eat meat, and I say, oh, come on, it won't hurt you. God says you can eat meat. And I may get him to sit down and eat meat, maybe a certain type of meat he thinks is sinful to eat. But I coerce him. I get him to eat that. I get him to do that. That I'm sinning. I'm putting a stumbling block in his way. I'm causing him to fall. And he could lose his soul when I get him to go against his conscience. So that's what he's saying here. Another example how Christians are not to judge is with evil thoughts. Go to James chapter 2. We'll read the first four verses. James chapter 2. Beginning of verse 1. My brethren, hold not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If there comes into your synagogue or assembly a man with a gold ring, in fine clothing, and there come in also a poor man in vile clothing, and you have regard to him that wears the fine clothing, and say, sit thou here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit under my footstool. Do you not make distinctions among yourselves, and become judges with evil thoughts? There you go. There's that word we're studying today again. Judge. Judgment. You become judges, but this kind of judgment is with evil thoughts. You see, what they're doing is wrong. They're not judging righteous judgment here. They're making decisions and they're judging people by how much money they've got. You see. That's condemned. That's wrong. God's the one, through His truth, He tells us how to act. And we can't be judges with evil thoughts. Let's also look at verses 11 and 12 of chapter 4. Therefore, we could just say therefore, what we just read in James 2, James 4, 11 and 12, speak not one against another, brother. He that speaketh against a brother, or judgeth his brother, speaketh against the law, and judgeth the law. But if you judgeth the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Only one is the lawgiver and judge, even he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you that judges your neighbor? You see, that kind of judgment, we don't have any business being involved in. And some brethren like to do this. They like to become judges. And they're going to think, they're going to judge the thoughts and the intents of people's heart. Well, I know why he won't do this, because here's what he thinks, or here's what I just know it. And you ask them, well, do you have evidence? Do you have you seen? Oh, no, I just know that's why he does that. We don't have the right to be involved in that kind of judgment. If we put one another above each other because of material things or what we think or what we like or what we want, then it's not acceptable to God. Another way Christians are not to judge is being hypocrites. Let's go to Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Of course, we know these passages, but I want them to be specifically applied and thought of at this time. So this isn't going to work. Can't be involved in this kind of judgment. There he says, judge not that you be not judged. Now see, a lot of people like stop right there and say, yeah, you can't have anything to do with any kind of judging, which is not true. We've seen plenty of passages today to show that we are to be involved in judging. But he says here, judge not that you be not judged. This is not talking about the righteous judgment. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you mete, it shall be measured unto you. And why behold the mote that is in your brother's eye, but you do not consider the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me cast the mote out of your eye, and lo, the beam is in your eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to cast the mote out of your brother's eye. Now, the beam is a great big thing. The mote is a little teeny speck. You know, that's the way we are sometimes. We can't see our own hypocrisy. We cannot be involved in righteous judgment when we're hypocrites. When we've got a problem ourselves, I can't go and help you with a small problem. If I got a big problem I can't even deal with, first I have to look at me before I can help you. I have to have my own dirty laundry clean before I can come and help you clean up your dirty laundry. It's like the old one that I remember. I don't remember most of them, but I do remember this one. The woman looking out at her neighbor's laundry. And she just railed all the time at her neighbor. Had such, put the dirty laundry out there on that. Why would she do that? Why didn't she clean her laundry? And then one day she discovered her window was dirty. Yeah, that's an old one. It wasn't a person's laundry that was dirty, it was her window. Well, we don't clean our own backyards up first before we start trying to help other people clean up theirs. So, first we have to take care of ourselves before we can help other people. You can't help other people when you're a hypocrite. Well, that's what he's talking about here. He's loud and clear on it, and there's no way to get away from it. Let's look at another one, Romans 2, 1 through 3. Romans 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, or wherefore thou art without excuse, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. Now see, this isn't condemning any kind of judgment, because God tells us that we're to be involved in judging righteous judgment. So what's the problem here? Same thing, hypocrisy. You condemn yourself before you who are judging, you practice the same things. Well, I can't encourage somebody to quit smoking when I'm smoking. You know, now you shouldn't be smoking. But then I light up. Now you shouldn't be drinking. But then I drink. You can't do that. It's not going to work. People are going to look at you and say, but what are you to tell me to quit doing something you're doing? Can't do it. It just won't work. That's what he's saying here. Well, you condemn yourself. You're judging these people and saying, now you shouldn't do that. But you're doing it. We know that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that practice such things. I can't be a hypocrite and righteously judge anybody. Won't work. It's impossible. And so verse 3, and reckonest thou this old man who judges them that practice such things, and you do the same thing, that you are going to escape the judgment of God? No, you're not. You're not going to get away with it. Hypocrites are going to go to heaven. The angels are going to come. And they're going to, the day of judgment, they're going to cast and take out all of the kingdom, all that cause stumbling and do iniquity. Iniquity is lawlessness. So I'm a hypocrite. I may be fooling you, but I'm not fooling God. Can't fool God. Can't ever fool God. That's not righteous judgment. One other thing how Christians are not to judge is the motives of the heart. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5. 1 Corinthians 4 and verses 1 through 5. Let a man so account of us that as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God, here moreover it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you. Now, another word you might have instead of judged is examined. And that's the same thing. Yea, or of man's judgment. Okay, let me read that again, verse 3. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, or I examine not my own self. For I know nothing against myself, yet I am not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Okay, let's look at the principle before we read verse 5. He says, it's not you judging that justifies. Because it's hard for us to see our own inadequacies. I'm not justified like that. The only way I can be justified is by he that judges me. That's the Lord. The Lord is the one that's going to justify. I'm not going to be able to stand before God in the day of judgment and say, Lord, you must allow me to enter heaven because I did this and I did that and I was such a good guy. I'm judging myself. God is the judge. He's the one that will accept or reject me. I have the right to be involved in righteous judgment according to truth. When I look into the truth and I look into that mirror and I examine myself and I turn away from God, what God says not to do, and I try to do what he tells me to do, that's what I'm supposed to do. But they were judging him and they were judging him wrongly. So he's saying, I'm not interested in what your judgment is. God's the one that's the judge. He's going to judge me. Now look at verse 5. Wherefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall each man have his praise from God. I want to tell you something, brethren. I cannot judge your heart, and you cannot judge my heart. If any of us try to judge one another from what you think I'm thinking or feeling or doing inside here, apart from works, fruits, then you're in the wrong place. A lot of brethren do this. A lot of times when you have divisions, people take sides because they're judging other people's intents and thoughts and hearts. You and I can't do that. We can only judge according to their fruits. What they say and what they do. And then we have to discern what they say and do correctly with the Word of God. If you catch a brother in a bold-faced lie, then you have to do that correctly. And you go to that person who told a lie to you, and you try to get him to repent. And if he doesn't do that, you take one or two more with you. Now that's working according to the truth. Righteous judgment according to the truth of God. And if he doesn't hear us, when we go to him, then the whole church is supposed to be brought into it. And if he won't hear them, we're supposed to treat him as a publican and a sinner. We're supposed to withdraw from him, as the Bible teaches. But there's a system that God wants us to go through in order to be involved in righteous judgment. And I can't judge your heart, and you can't judge my heart. If we start doing that, then we're in the wrong place. And we can't judge like that. We can only judge by the fruits manifested. Matthew 7:20, by your fruits you shall know them. And in closing, I just want to get you to think a little bit about prejudice. Prejudice, let me give you the definition of prejudice. Where, of course, when you think of prejudice, the first thing you should think of, look at the word, prejudice, prejudge. That's where that word came from. Prejudice, prejudge. That's what that word means, prejudice. When people are prejudiced, they're prejudging for some reason. It means preconceived judgment or opinion. Anything, or especially an opinion, or learning adverse to anything without grounds or before sufficient knowledge. So people will come to conclusions without proper knowledge. And those become their law, their truth. And Christians do this. We can't be involved in prejudice. We have to get proper and sufficient knowledge before we come to a proper conclusion in order to have righteous judgment. Prejudging one another is being another put aside, the unfavorable judgment due to partiality. Let me read that again. That's a quote from Vines. Prejudging. Another being put aside by unfavorable judgment due to partiality. Well, people do that. Well, I like you, so I'm going to be your friend. I don't like his personality. I think there's something wrong with him. Let's look at 1 Timothy 5:1 in closing. 21. 1 Timothy 5:21, in closing today. 1 Timothy 5:21. Where Paul is telling Timothy, I charge thee in the sight of God and Christ Jesus and the elect angels that thou observe these things without prejudice. Or another word might be preference. You might have some other words. Doing nothing by partiality. You couldn't get any plainer than that, could you? Doing nothing by partiality. We're not supposed to be involved in prejudice, in using partiality because of judging people's hearts and intents and thoughts and liking people, their personalities and stuff. So we get involved in things like that. That's not righteous judgment. So in closing, brethren, as one of the scriptures we read today says, are we examining ourselves to see if we have the right attitudes? What attitudes? The Bible attitudes. In righteous judgment. That is according to truth. Are we repenting of our evil deeds? Because we all make mistakes and we sin. We don't judge each other correctly sometimes. Identify those things that we thought that were wrong about each other or said that were wrong toward each other or other brethren. May we be found to only judge righteous judgment, which is according to truth. Again, it gets back to all the scriptures that we go over often, that there's only one thing guiding us through this life. It's God's truth. It's God's Word. That's why it's important that we hear it, listen to it, study it, read it, meditate upon it. Because it's God talking to us, and He's guiding us through this life. And that's a lesson for today. If there's anyone that would like to respond in any way to the gospel call at this time, we would encourage you to come while we stand and sing the song Selected.